Ephesians chapter 6, talking about the whole armor of God. Finally, brethren, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I talked about a number of those, the armor last week, the different pieces of the armor. But I want to focus on the sword of the Spirit this morning, the Word of God. And I will just make a couple of, maybe I'll have a few examples too, but some observations. The Word of God is what changes us, and changes not our, well, intellectually, yes, but changes our heart. The Word of God, as we take it in, will cause us to think differently and even to desire things differently than we did before. One of the things about the whole armor, as Paul is talking to the Ephesians here, he's talking about the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the devil. Now, we are in a battle. Most of us, well, some of us maybe aren't aware of that, but we're in a battle. There's a battle going on for the souls of men and women, for the hearts and lives of men and women, and that battle is going on whether you feel like you're in it or not. You're a part of it. It's going on. It's happening. And one of the things that I wanted to do this morning as part of this, is just to say, you know, we've got to be engaged in this battle, but we got to be engaged in a way that's right and smart. The right and smart way is using the Word of God so that we can defeat the enemy, so that we can be victorious. Okay, I'm going to back up a little bit again. The battle that we're in, the life that we're living, is more than just a battle of, okay, well, I'm just going to hold my ground, I'm just going to stand here, and if the devil pushes me, I'll just kind of resist a little bit. Part of the Christian life, I believe, anyways, is a life of moving forward and taking ground. It's being more than just defensive, the old, you know, hold the fort attitude. It's good to hold the fort. You should do that. But it's also good to say, let's go out and take some ground. Let's go out and take some of the areas that the enemy has taken. And you don't have to look too far to see the territory that the enemy has taken. And I'm talking about, like, say, in our city, in some of the things that go on. But the enemy is always looking for new ground in your life. He's always looking for an opportunity to begin to get you to compromise or do something a little bit, you know, it's outside of the Word of God. And that compromise and that I would call it waywardness, is something that opens the door for him to come in and take more ground. When people come to Jesus, when they give their hearts and lives to him, they come to him and repent and turn from their sins and turn to him, God begins to come in and take ground. And he's taken a lot of ground there. But the enemy is always looking to get some of that back. And so we've got to be more than just in a defensive mode. We should be all the time. But we should be in a mode that is, I'm going to go forward and take some ground. I'm going to be in a battle, and I'm going to fight the battle in God's way, not in my own strength, because that's a losing proposition. But taking ground, let me see if I can give an example. Well, the fact that the church is here, okay, we're on the south side of Milwaukee. We're in an area that is sometimes a little crazy, sometimes not, but I believe that our being here, the presence of the church, not some of you may go, no, it's all about Jesus. Yeah, I know. But it's the presence of a ministry of God in this area is having an effect on the area. I've recognized that years ago when we started doing the outdoor movies in the summertime, that we would have Christian movies on the screen, and there would be times, mostly on Wednesday nights, we would be showing some of the Billy Graham 30-minute short videos, and I still remember hearing the echo throughout the neighborhood, Billy Graham preaching, and I thought, wow, this has got to have some kind of effect out here, and it did, and it is having an effect. Now, I'm not sure if we were doing nothing, if things would be actually better than they are. I don't think so. I think they'd be worse. If we were not out proclaiming Jesus and affecting the atmosphere and taking some ground, and that's kind of my attitude when we do the movies. Most of the people that come out to the movies, in the evenings, are people who just happen to be walking by that night. And I always look at it as, all right, God wants to take some ground. So they're coming onto our territory and onto our property, and they're seeing something that I always like to think of some of the Christian movies as sneaking up on people with the gospel because, they don't want to come in here because they know what they're going to get. We're going to chain them to a pew and say, get saved or we won't let you go. But out there, they feel like, well, I'm in a chair out here in the middle of the field and I can just get up and walk away whenever I want. I've had people tell me that. Well, okay, sure, I'll sit down for a couple minutes, but I'm really in a hurry. I got to be somewhere. And before you know it, they're there for the whole movie. I'm going, well, see, that's God taking ground. And I don't know, there's maybe a few people here who've been affected by that, but over the years I've seen lots of people touched in one way or another, and I'd like to see the church fuller as a result, but little by little. Amen. But part of our attitude and our walking with Jesus is an attitude of, I don't want to just hold my own. I want to do that, but I want to do more than that. I want to take some ground. Let me give you an example. A lot of you, where you live, your apartment or your house where you live, and I'm guilty of this too, I don't know a lot of my neighbors. Well, I know them. Hi, how you doing? That's kind of it. I was thinking about this because I don't know if it was last week. One of the neighbors who's two doors down from me, sometimes I see him up on his top porch. And I was out working on my car in the alley, and one of the other neighbors came over and said, the guy down here is stuck in the ice. He can't get his truck freed. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I can come over and help with that. And I did. I helped him get the truck stuck out of the ice rut. But it was interesting because I looked at it, I guess, well, I get a chance to meet one of my neighbors. I knew his name already. His name is Rich. And I said, this is an opportunity maybe to reach out to him and do more than just me and my house and my yard and my family, but affecting someone in the area. And I had a chance to go back the day after. I brought him an extra walker that I had over here at church. He's an older guy who's got some back problems. But we had a really good conversation. And he says, well, I'm Catholic. And I said, well, that's all right. I know a lot of Catholics. but anyways, and this is an ongoing, to-be-continued story. So maybe I won't tell you all of the details of it from here on. But I want you to know that I had an attitude of, it's more than just me and my yard and my house and my family. And I think some of you might be able to relate to that. There are some people that are around you that are hurting, that are going through some difficult times. And the reason you don't know that is because you haven't really been paying attention. You've been paying attention to me and mine and us. But if you will begin to pay attention a little bit to the world around you, you might be surprised that there's some ground out there to be taken. The enemy has taken some of that territory, and he's running with it, and he's got no resistance from Christians. So that's what I mean by taking ground and about being, I don't want to say offensive, but going out there and being proactive in bringing the gospel to the world around us. And that, you don't have to be an evangelist. All you have to do is be a Christian. Real Christians do tell people about Jesus. So, all right. Well, in this battle, and we talked about it in Ephesians last week, God gave us some armor to put on, but he gives us his word, And maybe we've underestimated the power of His Word to change hearts and lives. I'll give you another example. We were watching a movie the other night at home, Faith Like Potatoes. Is that the name of it? Faith? Yeah, Faith Like Potatoes. But it's actually a true story of a farmer who was in South Africa somewhere in Africa. But at some point in the movie, he just really felt like God was telling him to buy potatoes for planting. And he told his pastor, because everybody was saying, you know, we got a drought going on. The ground is dry. You're going to put those things in the ground and everything's going to die. It's going to be a waste of money. You're going to be bankrupt. You know, the bank is going to take your farm away and all of that. And he said, no, this is what God told me. And he used the Word of God. He was reading in Ecclesiastes, and I can't quote it exactly, but he said something to the effect that the one who looks at the wind and the season and stuff like that will not sow, will not plant. You know, because they're looking at the weather and going, oh, I don't know if it's a good day to do that. He was going by faith and saying, God has really laid it on my heart to do this thing. And it's a great testimony, because a lot of people were changed and touched by the testimony. The potatoes did come up, by the way. They did grow. And God did a great miracle. And again, it's not just a movie. It's actually a testimony of a man who actually experienced that. But God speaks to us through His Word. And a lot of times when He speaks to us, He gives us a word. He gives us some kind of a scripture. Maybe it's something you were reading earlier in the week, or maybe it's something that you read last year and you don't even know where it is. But you know that's what God is saying to you. And when we will take God's Word, and instead of coming up with excuses, well, it's not really the right time, God, and, you know, it's not, well, it doesn't work that way these days anymore, and all that kind of stuff. You know, we come up with all of these reasons why God's Word isn't as powerful and as strong as it is. But if we will really take it at face value, I've always said that if you can read a scripture to a 7-year-old and get their interpretation of it, it's probably closer to the actual interpretation of the scripture. You know, when people get older and smarter and more knowledgeable, they take scriptures and twist them around and bend them around to fit their situation, where a child or childlike faith will look at the scripture and say, well, that's what it says, that's what it means, you know. So in this battle that we're fighting, the way to fight this battle is with the scriptures, with the Word of God. And again, I say it so often, and I'm thinking some people are probably listening. You've got to get into the Word of God. You've got to read the scriptures. You've got to, and if you're not a good reader, you know, I know that's one thing that I would say. I'm not the greatest reader, but years ago when I was, when I first became a Christian, I ended up getting a set of cassette tapes, the whole Bible on cassette. And I listened to those cassettes over and over again. I had a 20-minute ride to work and a 20-minute ride back. And every day for months, I would listen to the scriptures all the way through. And I'll tell you, I still am amazed, because back then I didn't know anything. You know, I knew Jesus loved me and saved me and died on the cross for me, but I didn't know much more than that. And I still think some of the things that come back to mind today, the scriptures that I'm remembering, are as a result of things that I heard years ago driving in my car on that cassette tape. And so I want to tell you something. If you will plant the Word of God in your life, if you'll take it in, spend time reading it, studying it, absorbing it, you know, if you got to get the CDs or the MP3s or any of that stuff to hear the Word of God, but you got to get it in, all right? And God will take it from there. He'll remind you of it. You'll be able to do battle with the enemy. When things come up, you will be able to say like Jesus, it is written. All right? And I'm going to read that passage out of Matthew right now. Matthew chapter 4. This is Jesus is just been baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit now leads him out into the desert to be tempted. It's kind of a strange thinking, well, really, he's starting his ministry. This is not a time to get tempted. This is a time to go out there and do some great stuff. But the Holy Spirit led him, okay? It says, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Have you ever fasted 40 days and 40 nights? I did, but I don't think it was with no food. Every once in a while, some celery and some peanut butter. But I was on a 40-day fast once. It was an awesome experience. Anyways, but that's another story. I wouldn't highly recommend it unless, you know, God is leading you to do that and you want to make sure it's God instead of just you doing some religious thing. So Jesus is tempted. He's fasting 40 days, 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. And really, that's where the devil usually comes. About the time that we're weak, at our weakest, he'll come. And it says, now the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now Jesus, it says here, but he answered and said, it is written. Now Jesus didn't answer and said, of course I'm the Son of God. What are you talking about? You know, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus confronts the devil's lie, the devil's temptation, with Scripture. It is written. All right? And then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of a temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. See, now the devil is using Scripture. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in your hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Did you know that the devil knows Psalm 91? Jesus said to him, it is written again. You know, devil, you say it's written. Well, let me give you the correct interpretation, because you're not using that scripture right. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. It is written. How are you going to say it is written if you've never read it? You know, you got to get it, put it in. You really have to get the Word of God in you so that you can say it is written. Okay. Enough about harping on read your Bible, study your Bible. You should do that. But let me tell you, there are some benefits to studying of the Scriptures and taking the Scriptures in. Peace without stumbling. Now, I only have a few things here. There's lots and lots of benefits to taking the Word of God in and accepting it, reading it, studying it, you know, living your life according to what you read. In Psalm 119, by the way, maybe I was thinking about this earlier this morning. I thought maybe I could give people a little homework. I just would like you to read a short psalm this week, sometime maybe this afternoon. Go home and read Psalm 119. It's only, what, about 170 verses or something like that? The whole theme, the whole focus of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. The Word of God. Amen? And so here it says in Psalm 119, verse 165, okay, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. You know, the devil's goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Jesus said. But I have come that they might have life. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission statement. That's his whole method. That's his whole way of doing things. This verse here in Psalm 119 says, great peace have those who love your law. It's not just about, it's the Bible, it's God's Word, I'll read it. Do you love this thing? Do you love His Word? God, these are your words. I want to take them in like food, you know, like water and like honey. Those are some of the scriptures that are talking about God's word. I love your word. I love your law. I love the way that you're instructing me and showing me things. Amen. If you love his law, first of all, if you love his law, you'll spend time in it. If you love his word, you'll spend time in it. But it says, great peace have those who love your law. Great peace. Just to be able to rest in God no matter what is going on. And there's a lot going on. Great peace. All right, God, you've taken care of me before. Your word says that you will work everything out for good. I'm going with that. That's what you said, God. It is written. You're going to work everything out for good to those who love you. See what I'm saying? And when stuff comes, and we're all going to be facing, you know, battles and struggles, difficulties, when stuff comes, to be able to have the Word of God to look at and say, you know what? This is what the Word of God says. This is what I've been thinking, and this is what the Word of God says. They don't seem to be lining up. I guess I got to junk my idea and go with this one. Amen? Nothing causes them to stumble. That's really good. You know, that's a promise that you can really hang on to. God's word brings freedom, not slavery. God's word doesn't give us a whole bunch of rules that you got to follow it. And now you're, well, to a certain degree, there is some slavery. To be a servant of Christ, to be one of his own, means to follow and serve and honor him with your life. And there's a lot of times you're going to have to say, like in the song we sang before, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. If this is what you want me to do, yes, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm not the one who calls the shots. You're the one who calls the shots. Amen. But Jesus said in John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. Continue in my word. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you will continue in his word, you will understand and know the truth. This is the truth. The word of God is the truth. God gave it to us not to confuse us or to put a bunch of rules and regulations and hardships on us. Oh, well, I got it because I'm a servant of God. I have to. How about, Lord, I love your law. I love your word. And if you're giving me some instructions, it's good. I'll go with that. You know, let me read a couple other passages that have to do with that. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Psalm 119, verse 45. And I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought your precepts. I'm going to walk in freedom because I have sought what it is that you're trying to tell me, how to live, how to act, how to think, what to do. Amen. I've sought your precepts. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity. Amen. That means, I know sometimes people will say things like, I was just thinking this and I couldn't help my thoughts. You can, when you recognize your thoughts are not according to the way that God thinks, you should deal with them right now. You should say, no, in Jesus' name, I'm not taking that. I don't receive that. I don't want a part of that. I'm not going to go with that. I'm not even going to dwell on it. I think maybe a little aside, one of the bigger problems is when we are tempted, we dwell on the temptation just a little bit too long. We're tempted by something, whatever your particular weakness is, the devil knows that, and he puts in front of you. As soon as you recognize that this is not God, that this is not what God would want for you, you should either turn around and run as fast as you can in the other direction, or you should say, get behind me, Satan. But you should take an active stance in rejecting that and taking that thought captive. That thought has to come under the subjection under the subordination of Jesus, under the control of the Holy Spirit. And if that thought has nothing to do with God and it has nothing to do with right living or living for God the right way, then I reject it. I don't want to have any part of it. I mean, you know, there are times when you're just going to have to get a little bit radical. Like maybe every day. But we walk in the flesh. We don't war according to the flesh. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. We've got the Word of God as the greatest weapon that exists for the believer. You know, because we have an enemy that is strong, who's cunning, who's been there and done that, and he's tricked thousands of people before you who had the same problem you do. And there's only one way you're going to defeat him, is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God can go deeper than anything else that we could read or hear, because the Word of God touches us at a deeper level. There are times I really do encourage you, as you're reading the Scriptures, read it with an attitude of, God, teach me, lead me, show me your way. If there's something that I'm not understanding or seeing the right way or that I'm doing that doesn't line up with your Word, make it clear to me, and I want to run with that. I want to run with what you want me to do. Amen. Because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, it's going to do its work. You know, quite often I will pray sometimes before church service, and I'll say, Lord, send out your word and let it have its full effect. Let it do its work of change in the hearts of people. I don't want having their minds changed would be all right, but I want their hearts changed. Because, you know, when your heart is changed, you act differently. It's when your mind is changed, it can be changed right back. When your heart is changed, that's a different story. Amen. All right. Engaging in the fight is necessary and expected. I read that before. I'll read this part again. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And our struggle isn't against the rulers and authorities, against the powers but they're against the powers of darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. You know, that's the fight that we're fighting. We're fighting some pretty big, powerful enemies. And if you're going to fight those enemies on your own, well, I'm sorry. It ain't going to work out. You got to do it with God. You've got to do it with His Word. You got to do it with His leading, with His instruction, with His direction. Amen. Where's the fight? The fight is principalities. There's a chain of command. There's principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. There's all sorts of stuff going on that we don't see. You know, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. But a lot of times we see evidence of demonic activity in and around us, or, you know, well, all over. We see the evidence of the devil working. And yet, we're going to fight him with the Word of God. All right, I'll do that. Some of you are struggling constantly with problems that don't seem to go away, no matter what you do. Whether it's an anger problem, whether it's some kind of addiction problem, some kind of a thing that you shouldn't be looking at, whether it's an unforgiveness issue, there are strongholds the enemy has set up, and as long as we will allow those things to be there and not really resist them, they're going to continue, and we're not going to get stronger, we're not going to mature, we're not going to grow. But as soon as we start to resist those things with the Word of God, amen. I was thinking of a scripture this morning, if I can remember exactly how it starts. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. Now, if he hasn't given us the spirit of fear and we're fearful, where's that coming from? Maybe it's time to say, get behind me, Satan. Take your fear and go. I'm going to trust God. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You die? You know, for a believer, that's not all bad. I'm not crazy about the process, but the end result is going to be pretty good. Amen. But that fight that you're fighting, maybe some of these principalities and powers of darkness, you know, there are demons going around. I remember a church leader some years ago said something to the effect, I was in a prayer meeting, and he said something like, well, in America, we really don't have problems with demons. You know, we don't need to be casting out demons. We don't have problems with demonic activity. That's only like in Africa or places where they, you know, in the jungles of the Amazon or something. I'm going, wow, have you read your newspaper lately? I mean, some of the stuff that's going on is not just bad behavior by human beings. It's evil. When you hear about crazy stuff, school shootings and, the list goes on and on. There are devils, there are demons. And I don't know that I look for them under every rock. I tend to focus more on, Jesus, are you here? Are you with me? You know, and we'll deal with those devils one at a time as they come our way. But we've got to do it. We've got to address those things. Jesus, there were times when people would come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to heal me, or I need you, have mercy on me. And Jesus would say something kind of strange. He'd say, well, what do you want me to do for you? He wanted people to be specific, Lord, that I could see, that I could receive my sight. And then he would lay hands, or he would spit on the ground, or he would do whatever it took as he was led to do, and the healing came. But the point is this, sometimes we need to identify what it is. And if that problem, for instance, I mentioned some things before. Let's just say that problem happens to be an unforgiveness problem. There's an unforgiveness issue between you and another believer, something that happened 2 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever. Maybe you need to take that to God and say, God, here it is. I'm going to name it. It's called unforgiveness. And you don't want that in my life, and I don't want that in my life. Your word says that I should forgive, that I should turn the other cheek, that I should, let vengeance be yours, not mine. Amen? And naming that thing and saying, God, my problem is unforgiveness. I'm holding that thing and I don't want to hold it anymore. Now, fill in the blank, whether it's unforgiveness or some other thing. But you got to name that thing and you got to say, Jesus, I know it's wrong. I know your word has a better solution, a better way to go on this. And I choose to go that way. And you tell that thing to go. You know, we do have authority. We've got authority in Jesus' name. We don't have authority by ourselves. But we can tell if we perceive some kind of a spiritual darkness, a spiritual spirit that is opposing us or hassling us or harassing us, we can tell that demon to go in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not crazy. It's not, you know, oh, you're getting too spiritual. You're, you know, like somebody once told me, I asked them how the church service was in the hall downstairs, and they said it was spooky. A young person, I think she was about 16 at the time, but I went, okay, well, from a non-church type person who comes to a service and says it was spooky, I thought, oh, that's not all bad. You know, there's something spiritual going on, more than just some songs that you never heard before and some prayers that we never prayed before in our church. Okay, before I get wandering again. But it is. There are times when we need to get spiritual. Not to show off, not to tell everybody, hey, look what I'm doing or look what I did, but to really address the problem and address it in Jesus' name. Devil, you know, when something comes, when something is happening, use the authority that you've been given. Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample on scorpions and snakes and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. You know, either that's true or it's not. You know, and we're believing something else. We're believing the wrong thing. All right. What am I fighting for? Territory. God, I want more ground in my life to be dedicated and committed to you and less of the enemy. I don't want any more footholds that the enemy has in my life. I don't want him to be able to take hold or manipulate or do some stuff in my life. I want to give you more of me. And I think that that's probably a daily process. You know, there are times when we say, Jesus, here I am, have it all, my whole life, I give it all to you, my thoughts, my heart, all of that. And then tomorrow comes along and you just go, oh, there is something that I'm still not letting go of. Okay, God, I give you that too. I think that's really the process. The Christian life is a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year process of saying, yes, Lord, more of you and less of me. And I thank God that he doesn't reveal all of my blind spots all at once. I'm not sure how we'd be able to handle that. But he brings them to the surface when they need to be dealt with. Amen. So, the how should I fight? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is written. I didn't bring one up with me this morning. Some of the Bibles that we've got in the pews, they have like a little thing in the back where it has different subjects and says, you know, if you're dealing with unforgiveness or you're dealing with, hurt or loss or grief or other kinds of things, here's some scriptures that you should read. I would encourage you, if you don't have something like that, to get something, but to really look at that and say, here is what the Word of God says about the situation that I'm in. I want to take the Word of God for what it says, believe it, and apply it. Okay? I think I had something, maybe it was, yeah, knowing about 911 does not help in an emergency. You got to call. Knowing the scriptures, you know, saying, well, there's a verse, but you got to call on God. You got to look to him. You got to say, God, I believe this is what your word says. I'll repeat the verse that I had before from, I think it's from Romans 8. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And, you know, the all things, that's, you know, when stuff comes and we can just go, really, God, for my good? You know, James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet with all sorts of trials and difficulties, because the testing of your faith is going to cause you to grow. And I can say this, and probably you can too. There are difficulties that we had years ago, something that we were going through that we just didn't know how we were going to get past, how we were going to get through it. And somehow I can look back on it years later and say, wow, God, I don't know how you did that, but you made it work out for good. That's because that's what he promises. Amen. To those who love him, to those who are called according to his purposes. I just want to close in encouraging you to really spend time in his words, spend time studying and taking it in and getting it planted in your life, so that when the situations of life come, the battles and the difficulties come, you've got something to go with. Amen. Luke 9:1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. I just want to focus on the first half of that verse right now. Then he called his 12 disciples together. He called them to himself. I think in Mark it reads a little bit differently, but it's the same idea. Is Jesus called them to himself, they came to him, and they were sent out with power. And that's where we start. The battles and the struggles, the difficulties of life, they start out with Jesus. They start out in his presence, maybe in a quiet place. Lord, here I am. And he'll lead and he'll teach and he'll guide and he'll do what is necessary to see victory in that area. Amen. So take the Word of God. Take it seriously. It's got the power to change so much. If you don't spend a lot of time in the Word of God, if you don't really know the Word of God all that well, and you've been maybe a Christian for a long time, there's no excuse. Maybe that's the reason you got all sorts of difficulties and you got weakness, you know, because you don't even know what you should be believing. Whatever kind of crazy thought comes into your head, the Apostle Paul says, you know, blown about by every wind of doctrine. You know, the Word of God takes care of that. All the winds of doctrine that come, all the crazy ideas, when we compare them with the Scriptures, they get us straightened out and get us looking at it the right way. Amen. Take the Word of God with you. Take it in. Put it into your ears. Put it into your eyes. Put it into your heart. Spend time with God in His Word. Amen. Sit down with your Bible and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm your student and you're my teacher. You wrote this thing. Teach me. Show me. Lead me. Amen. I promise, if you will take the Word of God in like I'm talking about here, and maybe I'm not describing it as well as I could, but if you'll take it in, I'll tell you what, you will see the benefits. They may not be immediate. You might not see the change, you know, by later this afternoon, but if you will stay with the Word of God and continue with it, years later you'll look back and you'll just go, wow, best decision I ever made to really take God's Word in. Amen. So why don't we stand up this morning, and I'd like to just conclude in a prayer. There are blessings to listening to God and to taking in His Word. So God, we just praise You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You didn't leave us to try to figure it out by ourselves. You gave us instruction. You showed us the way. So Lord, help us to take it seriously. Help us to take Your Word and defeat the enemies, to take territory, to do good things. And Lord, help us to believe what we read. Help us, Lord, to recognize the lies that we have tended to believe. And help us, Lord, to just shed those things, to get rid of them. Thank You, Lord. Lord, bless us this morning. Fill us up with Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.